want to have a prayer real quick. Miss Kay's not here. She'll be back. But her brother in Michigan, Bob, right? Pray for Bob in Michigan, Miss Kay's brother. Infection and stuff in his chest and things like that. He's in intensive care. So if you would, let's stand this morning and we'll pray for him. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to pray. We pray for this case, Brother Bob, that, Lord, you would continue to bless him, Lord, strengthen the doctors and the nurses. We thank you, Father, that he is in the hospital where he can get the help he needs. Lord, we pray you'd bless him and his family. And, Lord, we just pray that your will would be done. If it's a matter of asking, Lord, we ask that you would heal him and touch him at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to Psalms 127. That's where we was at Wednesday night, but we're going to look at the first two verses. Last week we talked about you can't win them until you warn them. And today I want to bring you a message, and the title is, You Can't Get Over It Until You Get Through It. There's a lot of folks that need to get over a lot of things, but they can't because they're not through it yet. And the process of time, the depth of the hurt, the sickness, the disease, or whatever trouble there is, it's going to take a lot of time to get through some things. We had a shooting last week, and I would have never imagined when this week happened that I preached last week about that, about a watchman on the top of a school warning the people, and that hit me this week. Almost got me to where I didn't want to go where I'm going at this morning, but we are. There's a lot of things that's been said this week that made me angry and broke my heart. And very rarely will you hear me preach like I am today. There's some things I heard on the news this week that if I don't answer it, I'm going to be in trouble. Thoughts and prayers. People really put that down, didn't they? Disrespected children that lost their lives. And a certain group of folks, you can call them what you want, I think they're ungodly. There needs to be a Bible answer about what happened this week and has happened before and will happen again. A lot of it, people have the wrong definitions of what they're trying to say. We've narrowed everything down to mental illness and people that are just downright evil that want to spread it to the kids as young as they can. There's something today I want to bring to you that I don't know why we don't talk about it. It's called demon possessed. It's more than mental illness. It causes people to do what they do, and the Bible calls it demon-possessed. And as we're in this world, there's going to be some suffering, isn't there? There's going to be some building in the church and battling. And what we need to understand today is we do a whole lot of battling, but there's not much building. So this morning, for just a little while, I want to answer the question, why is there suffering? Why judgment against each other, the sin? And where's the justice, people say? And I prayed about this, and I believe the Lord will answer those questions that I just raised in two verses. And again, before we go any further, I want to ask you to bow your heads as we pray. Father, this is a very easy message for me to preach. I pray it be easy for folks to hear. The difficult part is, why has everybody in the world and the devil been able to build and battle and the church hasn't figured it out yet? Bring us back, Lord, to the understanding that we need and how hard it is in our lives to let you build us, to build our house, to build our city. Lord, help us to see where we fail you. And then and only then can we trust you to take care of every need that we have. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for those children that give their lives for their friends. Help us to see, Lord, what our part is this morning, to know and to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 127, look at verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. There's a dependence on God in everything we do, isn't there? First verse there talks about a house, and then it talks about a city. In a city, which is bigger than a house, there's many houses, isn't there? There's many individuals that are saved and part of the church, but the church is a bigger part, isn't it? Except and unless God Himself builds everything, it's worthless, isn't it? He wants to, He desires to, He teaches us, He puts it on our heart, in our mind, in our world, in our church, that He's building all the time, isn't He? And we don't see it much anymore. If we can debate and out argue, and if we can see things a certain way and seem to keep our head above water, then we claim victory. Revival's thrown around a whole lot. And I want revival too, but I fail in my own heart to understand exactly what it looks like, because it looks different than it did years ago. I've read stories, heard old-fashioned preachers preach about the Wesley brothers coming in. And there was years and years and years and years, every beer joint in the place shut down forever. And it took a long, long, long time for folks to get over the preaching. They came to, that's a revival, isn't it? And we do have personal revivals. I've been raised up, lifted up. Thank the Lord. I've seen groups of people for some amount of time completely change, and we ought to. It might be we need to have more revivals more often. I don't know a lot about that, and I don't claim to. But all I know is accept the Lord in something, it'll never work. And even when He's in something, building is what He does. It's not spontaneous. It's not automatic. It's not dropping a bomb. It's not emotional. It's a building. It has foundations, doesn't it? It has a beginning. It develops. It's just according to the plans. And when it's finished, there's no doubt that God did it. We've got away from that. We're changing words and changing definitions. Not just the world, but the church does too. Unless the Lord build first the house, the smaller part, maybe an individual, maybe a mother and daddy and one baby, maybe a church, the small part. He has to build that, doesn't He? And when He builds the house, those houses that are built by Him, they'll be in the city. In the many houses that the Lord builds, and they're His buildings, and there's no doubt, and they're in His city that He built, He'll keep it, won't He? God builds it, God keeps it, doesn't He? When He doesn't keep it, or something's wrong, or something happens and we can't explain it, sometimes there's no reason for us to get involved in it and explain it. Everybody dies, don't they? I can't explain it, but it happens. Where are the people that were here 200 years ago? Is there any of them left? No. Just because everybody is going to die, and some folks die different, some folks die older and then younger, and some kids have sickness and disease, it breaks my heart. I can't explain it. God can. But that doesn't mean that he's not knowing about it, and in some ways, it's not according to his will. Sometimes it's God's will for folks to go on. And anybody that's been in a devastating physical disability of pain in an older person, sometimes the Lord will get us to the point to where our prayer is, Lord, please have mercy. And he does, doesn't he? So we can't put a definition on something that fails and say that God wasn't in it, because if he was in it, it would never fail. That's not true. Spiritually speaking, we have folks that believe that. If somebody could die and go to heaven, they say, God failed. If he was willing that none perish and that all should come to repentance, then everybody ought to go to heaven. That's some bad reasoning, isn't it? Because folks don't understand, they can't get a hold that God builds, God keeps. And when something in our eyes goes wrong, it doesn't mean that he didn't keep it. It doesn't mean that he's not in control, does it? The Bible is very clear in that first verse, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, that try to build it without the Lord. A lot of people building a whole lot of things that the Lord's not a part of. Politics, our school system to a point in some places, all our societal things, all our political things. There's a lot of folks that don't want God in it, and God can be in it all, can he? God can build a group of folks together that obey laws. God can build a group of folks that believe in school, can he? God can be a part of building anything, but when he's not, it's worthless, isn't it? Because they labor in vain, emptiness. And when they build their buildings and build their emotions and build their laws and build all these things that people follow and the Lord's not in it, he won't keep it. From the house to the city, a sanctuary city, is not God's will. Not in the way that it's, but this is a sanctuary, isn't it? David said, I didn't realize there's folks that are doing this and doing that until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, the holiness of God, into that place where God in prayer showed me. That's a sanctuary, a refuge of people that have a place to go because they're not guilty. And they have a place to stay until the trial comes. But the ones today, the city, are that way because the people in the houses, the small part, believe that and built and battled to get it built to manipulate and pervert the houses and then the bigger part, the city. And they worked at it. They labored, didn't they? But they labored in vain because the Lord wasn't in it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Watchman, the man we talked about last week that was to warn people. It was his responsibility to already understand the difference in good and evil, right and wrong. Dangerous and all these things. And he would sound the alarm when he saw it coming in the distance. He would warn, this is coming. But think about a place, a house, a city that God had no part of, but they put a watchman out anyway. What is he supposed to watch for? Yesterday it was this kind of people. Today, it's this kind of folks. Last year, this executive order said this was okay. Now, this term, executive order, says this is wrong. What's a watchman to do? I mean, I worked in factories at Nissan. We did that about every week. What rules are we going to go by today? Isn't that right? Every little part that we live in is just like that, to where the bigger parts are filled with the little parts, the little people that make it bigger and build, don't they? So they can battle against the house in the city that doesn't have God build it. Even the guy that's supposed to be responsible to warn is not going to be able to warn anybody of anything, because the door's wide open and everybody comes when they want, whenever they want, to do whatever they want. And that's a fact, isn't it? That is the world that we live in, because the Lord's not building the house or the city. Look at verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, there's a difference in depending on God and being disappointed because he's not in it. But Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Even the work that would cause the building to go up, it's worthless. And it's not laziness, it's calculated. It's expensive, and money is thrown into these things. They rise up early. They know they need to get things done right now. They're very, very courageous, very willing to build against God and build instead of God. And there's some that want to work so much harder than anybody else, not knowing that it's worthless and not knowing that God's going to knock it down one of these days and judge it. But they think, if I can rise up early, and if I can even stay up late, I'm going to get this building done better and greater than anybody else. There's a whole lot of building going on in politics, in the school system, medical, and all these things, isn't there? A whole lot of folks getting up early and staying up late to make things exactly like they want them. And they are, aren't they? Remember the Tower of Babel? It took a long, long time for that thing to get up, didn't it? They worked hard, didn't they? They might have stood up late and they got up early. They got together. It was imagination and everything. But they finally got it up. The whole building. And what happened to it? God came down, didn't he? And God destroyed it. So it doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how much you work together. If God's not in it, you can do nothing, because it's empty and it's vain. And then they even eat the bread of sorrows. The greatest thing that they could get out of it, the fruit, the bread, makes them sorrowful. It wasn't worth it. All the getting up, all the staying up, all the getting together, and all the money that we could get to throw into this, it caused us sorrow. It didn't satisfy. Even somebody that's starving can do pretty good with a piece of bread, can't they? But people that abuse, people that forget God, they have no other way. Because they're going to eat the bread of sorrows, aren't they? Every fruit and every amount of money given, and anybody that does good, somebody's going to outdo them. Somebody's going to tear it down and build it back better. Somebody's going to outdo them, and it's going to go on and on. And it's nothing but sorrows. It's nothing but emptiness. Because God is not building it, and God is not in it. A lot of folks don't realize that everything that's going on today, biblically speaking, is compared to what God's building. God can build a child up, can he? God puts a conscience inside of babies when he creates them in the womb, doesn't he? Fearfully and wonderfully made, David says. Oh, you ought to get in the real science books and biological books and all the chemistry and everything, and look inside a brain, look inside a blood vessel, look inside of all the things inside of us. There are so many things that there's so many doctors and so many levels of doctors, isn't there? Experts and people that really know and people that are scientifically testing every day. And we thank the Lord for doctors, don't we? There's a difference in Lebanon and Nashville, and I won't tell you about that till later. In doctors, isn't there? There was a difference in doctors in Murfreesboro than there was in Nashville with our son, isn't there? The more money you got, the better doctors you can get. Everything that we have in this world that's successful is only compared to what God is building. What God builds is nothing compared, is it? The space, the planets, all the things, all the laws of gravity and all the elements. I mean, it's on and on. And that's what we're supposed to teach our kids in school, right? I had one of those science books that daddy didn't go to school much. He was, I guess, homeschooled because he didn't go to public school because he stayed home and worked. He'd be about 90 now, so that's kind of the generation we're talking about. And he was a smart man. And I remember him setting my brother down and wanting to almost whip him till he found out. He came home, my brother Mike, my older brother, came home in the early 60s and said, "Daddy, I'm going to learn cursive writing." He said, "I better not hear one of my boys curse." You know, he didn't understand. And I had a science book. I don't remember what grade it was, one of the earlier grades, that had talked about the body, and it had all those see-through plastic pages on it. You could start with one, and that would be the lungs, the deep organs, and then you flip another page over, and eventually the last page, it has skin on it, you know? And we learned that way, back and forth, didn't we? It went deep, and it was layered. That's what children used to learn in school. That's what I learned. Compared to what God builds, and all the science and knowledge that we have, we can look at what God builds and we can thank Him, can't we? And I thank Him that along with the knowledge that He also gives people the gifts and skills to fix things, gallbladders and cancer and all kinds of hips and knees and all those things. And I think He even calls some of the therapists. I'm not convinced of that yet. Some of them I don't know. But see what I'm saying compared to what God builds? What we build without Him in it and without Him being a part, we think is really good, don't we? I can build a church. I had a preacher tell me that not long. "I'm building God a church. What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to obey Him and not ruin the church that He's already built. That's what I'm doing." But all of our minds and all of our hearts compared to God is nothing if He's not in it. And I've said, Sandy can testify to this, in church as a pastor, if I didn't have to answer to God, I could do a whole lot of things to get a whole lot of people so I could count. There's a whole lot of excitement, a whole lot of things. There's a whole lot of things going around. We met a man at one of the conferences one year, and he handed me a card, and it said, "The Fun Church." And he was serious. I went home and looked it up. I mean, they had bouncy houses and cornhole for the adults and everything. And he says, "And we have about a 10-minute Bible lesson at the end of all of our services." If I didn't have to answer to God, but I do, don't I? Hebrews says that I'm a pastor and I look over everybody's soul as one that must give account. Because He's building the church, isn't He? He's building the hearts physically and spiritually. There's a lot of folks that need to understand the reality of failure, of watching and keeping what they've built. I still look for experts on the television. Every news channel I watch has a panel, don't they? They'll have four conservatives and one liberal, or they'll have one conservative and four liberals, depending on what station that you're listening to. And what happens is everybody fails to watch and to keep what they're responsible for, aren't they? Every one of them, and it happened just lately, they had something on somebody about having a house over here and a house over there. This wasn't the primary. And, oh, that's against the law. And I wondered the next day why it wasn't coming up, because the guy that was accusing him, they dug a little bit, found out he was doing it. Good at him for watching and keeping what he was building. And that's okay when it comes to things like that. But our president and our Constitution, did you know it's a God-given biblical responsibility to keep people safe, to keep things legal? We have a civil law, don't we? We have laws, we have lawyers, we have prisons, we have judges, don't we? And it's all based on the Bible. And nobody in this world can watch and keep anything for long without failing. There's nobody that's an expert. There's nobody that's got it figured out. If they do, it won't take long before it to fall all apart. People don't realize the failure that we have. And the reason we don't is because God's not building it and He's not in it. Because when He's in it and He's building it, it'll start out with a small house and it'll go across the whole city. And because He built it, He'll keep it. And it won't fail, will it? Some folks have a false security. The reason why they're not building and the reason why they're not involved is because it hasn't happened to them yet. I'm still broken on the St. Thomas Hospital and the babies and the families truly have to take their child. And many, 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 many of them don't survive, do they? I can't explain it. You can't explain it. God can. Sometimes He does. But some folks it hasn't happened to yet. There's a lot of mass shootings. A lot of schools it hasn't had it happen yet. And when it does, it's different, isn't it? There's a need. There's a reality. And you'll hear both sides of the aisle, so to speak. We need to do something to where that will never happen again. And they stop at mental illness. It's the guns. It's mental illness. No, it's demon possession is what it is. It's deeper than that, isn't it? A lot of mentally ill people. A lot of us are very close anyway. And that's not a joke and that's not a slam. Our minds and our emotions are frail, aren't they? There's some medicines that I've been on that I got off of very, very quickly that was prescribed for me. And there was a couple of days, 1 week when I was taking it, that I didn't even remember driving to work. And I would go to sleep for 10 minutes at break and 20 minutes at lunch, and somebody would wake me up. And I didn't even remember going home. That's my example. And it was the lowest milligrams of that medicine that you could possibly take, but it affected me. There's nobody that can go back and find the source or the solution of when things start, how to manage them, how to stop them. Nobody can. And there's a whole lot of folks that fit in a lot of these categories that never hurt anybody. But everybody in the Bible and in the world today that's possessed by the devil will kill and steal and do things eternally, won't they? Who has the answer for mental illness? Nobody. We can treat it. We can grow. We can learn. Who has the answer for demon possession? God does. You know why it happens? Because God's not keeping the house. God's not allowed to build the world that we live in, is he? What we need to learn this morning from last week and all the weeks and the weeks to come is the devil is building too, isn't he? Isn't he? He poisons minds as early as he can. He makes people back up and be afraid to say anything because they'll be said to be a judging people. Or they'll get accused of being political. This mass shooter had a manifesto. And he separated it so clean for everybody to know and everybody to understand, and everybody needs to read it and everybody needs to hear about it. And they don't need to feel sorry for him. Not in the least. He made statements like, I brainwashed myself to be like I am. He took responsibility and claimed and said without a fact, I never was born this way. He hated everybody in the earth, didn't he? And he knew without a doubt the reason why he did it. Because he loved and worshiped all the other mass shooters. And he wanted to be just like them. And you can take all the guns away, that won't do anything. You can call it mental illness if you want. It might be closer. But it's demon possession. Because there's a devil. There's a devil that's building, isn't he? There's a devil that's fitting the spot right there where the Lord's not allowed and where the Lord's not a part of. If the Lord's not building, he's not keeping. If the Lord's not a part of it, it's in vain, isn't it? And not just is it empty for us, but the devil fills it up as quick as he can. Building is what I'm on this morning. If I hadn't made it clear yet, I want to make it clear now. Building, 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 building. Wait until it happens to you is reacting, not building. Right? When we react emotionally and even maybe spiritually sometimes, we don't do anything about it but mouth back and forth. Building has to do with a foundation. A building. That's how God builds. That's how the devil works. A foundation. When he gets in a place, he builds a foundation. And he's been allowed to build a great, stout, deep foundation in our houses and in our cities, hasn't he? He has. And he's going to keep building. He's going to keep building. He's going to go from house to house and hope that he can get the whole city. And a lot of folks preach for a reaction. We want our kids to react and be afraid. And we drop a bomb and, oh, emotion. And everybody feels that way. There's not anything that can happen like this so evil that I don't just want to blow up. And want to go somewhere. And I did. Out to my place where I burn my wood out beside my house and cry out to God. Oh, he's here, Lord. He's here. He's in the houses. He's in the cities. He's got a foundation. He's got a building. And God's not in it. And God's not for it. What do? Well, laws, those are good. Morals, those are good. People that are lawmakers can make laws. And we need to, don't we? But there's laws that's never enforced. Every time something happens, it's like this guy was here and he wasn't supposed to be and he's already been sent back 4 or 5 times and he's already... Isn't that sad? The things that we see? It's because the devil is building, isn't he? In our houses and in our cities. And we have politics, and we have executive orders, and we have laws, and we have churches. And everybody just reacts, don't they? And the biggest reaction with the most people, let's protest, let's make our voices known. Reaction is not building, because the foundation is emotional, maybe even spiritual, mental, isn't it? But it's only good until the next one comes along that's a greater, deeper, harder reaction. What the biggest problem is this morning is God building your life. That's more important than anything we've ever talked about. There's people that might be mentally ill. There might be people that are devil possessed. But God's people that He seeked and saved because they were lost. And He put His Holy Spirit inside of us, didn't He? The Holy Spirit that created all the planets and all the atmospheres and all the hearts and all the science. He's inside of me and He's inside of you. Is He building? That is the most important thing to me right now in my life. All the things I've said that I can't explain. The thing I can't explain the most is why us, God's people, is He building? What would it look like if He was building? He'd have a foundation, wouldn't He? Everybody that's His is His building, His house, His city, right? And every foundation is in Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's the rock, isn't He? And when we have the foundation of Jesus, it's forever, isn't it? What's being built on it? And why? Why does the devil's building look better than the Lord sometimes? And it's not. It can't destroy us. That's the whole point of what I heard him say this week. We need to stop the thoughts and prayers. So-called Christian people. Children that were worshiping God and praying. And some of them jumping on a smaller child to save their life. To me, that's God's building. That's awesome. Amen. That's what God wants them to do. And a little child can do it, can't he? So what's our building look like? If it's reaction, if it's money, if it's raising this, if it's getting a group up, oh boy, I'm for it. But what about every day, all day, every Sunday? Is God building you? Are you any stronger and any more faithful and read our Bibles any more than we did since we've been saved? Oh, it's easy to talk about the other side and talk about crime and talk about everything. What about us? What about our building? God's building, isn't He? How long do you think God's going to have us stay in the condition that we're in without Him doing something to His own? There isn't anything anybody can do that's not a Christian, that's an evil, wicked politician that doesn't have a problem they want to justify. Mass shootings. There's abortions every day that outnumber that forever. What's wrong with that? What about that? Because Satan's building, isn't he? But there isn't anything anybody for eternity can do that God's not going to get right and set right, is there? All the things we react to that we think is our business, and sometimes it is. God's going to take care of it no matter what. Because he's building it and he's keeping it. The problem is, what are we doing to grieve and to quench the Spirit of God? What does it look like, preacher? Smarty pants, I guess somebody might say. If you think you're, see, that's the problem. If I could tell you 1, 2, 3 ABC recipe, it would be a work and not by faith. Huh? God's building you different than he is me, and me different than you. And there's more some can do and more than others. There's no stamp. There's nothing we can put on it. God's building us, isn't he? Why does it not look any different? And I'm not suggesting we do anything different. Because I'm just as satisfied as I can be. I'm learning every week. There are scriptures I understand now that I haven't been able to understand in 35 years I've been preaching. I wanted to do something more than anything in my whole life. And I'm doing it now. I've got the time. I've got the study and got the opportunity. I've got a burden for the youth. But I've got a calling to do something about it. That was last week's message. A burden and a call, not just a burden. But this morning, we need to face something we can face. And it's so easy to go a certain depth and a certain length to be against what goes on than we ought to be. But we'll never escape God building us. We're going to answer, aren't we? In this life, in the life to come, aren't we? Just between you and God this morning. Not a reaction. But God said, and I'll do it. Wherever you need to start with the Lord. Whatever you need to do starts with prayer. And I learned a prayer when I was 16 years old that I've never quit praying. Lord, this morning, whatever I need to do to grow closer to you, you let me know and I'll do it. Lord, if there's anything I'm doing that I shouldn't do, you let me know and I'll quit doing it. That's been my prayer ever since I was 16 years old. That's a good place to start a building, isn't it? Everybody's got a foundation. I thought about that when we was driving down the road the other day. If we were truthful, my conception, my understanding, nobody else's, don't blame nobody, blame me. But I could picture every house, everywhere, with a footer and the foundation, and that's it. You could drive by and see the table and couldn't see nothing else because there's no ceiling. So you see the furniture, you can see the table because they quit with the foundation. That's real good till it rains. It's real good till it snows. Huh? We don't do that, do we? My prayer for Dry Creek Baptist Church this morning, Lord, finish the buildings that you started from the foundation and up. Lord, let me preach what I need to preach today, and I did. And then, Lord, let us, every one of us, ask what the building is for each one. Lord, you're building me. What should I do? Where should I go? Spend some time on the building. And he will. There's distractions. There's devastation. There's things we'll never, never figure out because the devil's building right now, isn't he? He's got into young people's minds because he can. But not all of them will ever give him much credit, because the Lord's building too. And he can get in there through the church, through mothers and daddies and grandparents, can he? To change a heart around, can he? It's only when they're demon-possessed. I don't know why that hadn't come up on one of the experts. I cry out and holler at the TV all the time. Well, studies show, and this statistic shows, and I want to say they're demon-possessed. 100% of those will do whatever they want to do and whatever the devil says. It's that simple. That's my opinion. You might not have that. But there's a whole lot of folks that aren't. And there's a whole lot of young people that all they have is a foundation. And with God's help, we can help them build. But we can only help them build whatever we've had. They're building, if it looks like you're building, what would that look like this morning? And then my last prayer is, Lord, you have to convict folks. You have to bring them to that point. I can't. The Holy Spirit can he? Folks are lost. If you're lost, you need to be saved, don't you? And most people in this point of the message, in most of these churches, you know you're lost. There's no doubt. You plan to, you want to, sometime down the road. But what about right now? The devil's working against you, isn't he? And he's winning so far. Make this the day that you turn to Christ and say, Lord, now save me. I repent. Forgive me. And you are saved here today. And you know what I'm saying. And the Lord's speaking stronger and deeper than I am, is my prayer. They can't stop God building you. But you can. And if you do, it's pretty simple. You'll answer to God, won't you? I'll ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.